Yashikayach to the Rosh Hashiva, Rav Elia, Brudni Shlita, thank you for your wonderful words. Before I introduce the next speaker, something that the Rav said really touched a chord. And tonight there's a memorial, I don't know the right word to use, what we use for a legend in this field, Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald, Zeichet Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. And someone who I have spent the last 8 summers with in Camp Sternberg and many years before that in a very unique relationship that we had, who personified a lot of what the Rav said on the level of the educational standpoint, whether it's the Rebbe, the Mora, the Menahel, the camp director, the camp counselor. These are all things in Klal Yisrael that have an impact. And for that, I say I'm lucky that I live in Queens. And I say this because we have, I think Dr. Zimmerman can tell me if I'm right or wrong, but I believe the first from community that as a kehila, the entire school systems in the Queens community was the first one to welcome the Safety Kit program from Debbie Fox and many other initiatives to really help keep our children safe. So I see that we have the Menahelim here from our yeshivas, Rabbi May, Rabbi Kessler, Rabbi Weichselbaum. I guess there's others that I may not know, I apologize, but I see that the Mechanchim are here, so a big thank you for personifying those words and helping to keep our children safe and educate them in the right way, both Begashmias and Beruchnias, so thank you for that. Just trying to see, so our next speaker was sort of with timing, Baruch Hashem worked out a little differently, but I would like to welcome someone who I have grown, just like with Rav Elia Brudni, another Rav who I've grown to call Rebbe in this field, who has really taught me a lot and continues to teach me a lot in dealing with these extremely sensitive issues in a very professional and tries as hard in a diplomatic way, the one and only Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein.
Thank you, Rav Tzvi. I apologize to Rabbi Brudni. I was supposed to introduce the Rav. I didn't have the schluss. I was supposed to be here earlier, but I was coming from a Shabbaton in Connecticut. I could just say, Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh means when you give from your neshama. Rav Brudni is Rosh Hashiva. Rav Brudni, I had the schluss of learning by Rav Shmuel Brudni, and he gives away so much of his time of sitting and learning, which is really what he wants to do, to the klal. In this prat and in Shalom Bayis, and really, really helps Klal Yisrael in a very big way. And would have been a very big schuss to introduce you, and it's a very big schuss to share the podium. Dr. Shlomi Zimmerman, there are certain jobs that people do who are oisim b'tzorchei tzibur that are very coveted jobs. To be involved in this, in what Amudim does, is very, very hard, because a lot of people try to, as we know, put it underneath the carpet. When you come out and you have to prosecute Jewish people because of what they're doing, not everybody is so happy about it. So anyone who's involved in this, you don't get the thanks. It's a very tough job. And that Shlomi Zimmerman, Dr. Shlomi Zimmerman, is so involved, says very, very much about him. I want to talk for a few minutes about Amudim. I wasn't here when Tzvi spoke, but I'm sure that Tzvi spoke about, I don't think people realize that when a child is abused, it's sometimes a death sentence, but it's always a life sentence. It's a struggle for life. And the ultimate loss, which we have been going through this year and last week, and in a very big way, losing a child or a person in Klal Yisrael. The ultimate loss is when a person thinks that nobody cares. When somebody thinks that everybody gave up on them. I want to tell you Dvar Torah. I believe it's from Rav Shimshon Pinkus, which is Dvar Torah that I live by. It says by Yosef HaTzadik in his hardest moment of his life, when there was nobody home but Potiphar's wife. He was the Yesod of the Olam. He was the Yesod. He was Yaakov Avinu's son, who was the Esh that would destroy Esav. The Chiddush says that that moment was the war of the worlds. Had Yosef HaTzadik sinned, the Chiddush says, the world would have been destroyed. Because the Yesod of the world, which is Yosef, would have broken. How did Yosef refuse? He had all the excuses. Sold by his brothers to the lowest place in the world. And according to Rashi, to the lowest person who bought him, as Rashi says, for himself. In the lowest house of the lowest place, abandoned by his family. Why didn't he sin? How did he, by Yemayin Yosef, how did he refuse? The trup, the musical note on the word by Yemayin Yosef, is the shalsheles. When the Baal Kora reads it, it sounds like a siren. By Yemayin, the true refusal. It's hard. A shalsheles is a chain. A chain connects two things. The Yemayin Yosef is connected to what? Says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, we have to look in that parsha for another Vayimayin. And there is one. Vayimayin Yaakov Lehisnachem. The brothers came to Yaakov to be Menachem Avol. Our brother died. Yaakov shut the door. They wanted to make him feel good. They came, all of them together. Brings down the Mefarshim. They came all together so that Yaakov wouldn't feel so bad. Look what you do have. So you lost one son. You have 11 more. And Yaakov said, no, one son. The 11 more don't help when you lose one son. But Yemayin Yaakov Lehisnachem, said Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Yaakov, he's Yaakov Avinu. You can't not sit Shiva. You can't say, I refuse to sit Shiva. How could Yaakov say that? Yaakov said to his sons, you brought me a coat full of blood, Taraf Taraf Yosef, I don't know what happened. I lost my Ruach HaKodesh, but you didn't bring me his body. I put so much into this child. He was my Talmud Mavak. He was the destruction of Esav. If you think that I'm going to give up on him because you brought me a coat dipped in blood, by your mindless nachem, no. Yosef HaTzadik is in the worst place, in the worst time of his life. He knew that his brothers could not have brought his body. He was alive. He did not know what they did, but he knew something about his father. My father, Yaakov Avinu, will never give up on me until I'm dead. And until they bring my body in front of him, I know that far away, I have a father that refuses by Yemayin Lehisnachem. Says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, if you know that there's someone in this world that refuses to give up on you, you will never give up on yourself. Says all the Mefarshim, what did he see? Dikunoi shel Aviv. Not some magical face showed up in the window. He saw his father. He was so far away, but he knew that my tati will never give up on me. And he turned to her and he said, I'm out of here. And he ran away. By Yanas, he ran. That's what Amudim is all about, everybody. Before Amudim showed up, people who went through sexual abuse thought that it's a secret, it's their secret, there's nobody to help them, nobody wants to help them. They didn't have the Vayimayin Lehisnachem. They didn't have the people who refused to give up on these kids. Whether it's therapy or rehab, whether it's money or personal help, they know that if they go through something, there is an organization and there is a person to go to that did not give up on this thing that used to be totally hidden. It's a Nayudika Kayach. Amudim is Mamish Vayimoyim Lesnachim. And that gives these kids a chance, an ideal with so many of them. Tzvi doesn't even know. I was on a Shabbaton this week. I did not sleep. I went to sleep at 5:45 Friday night. And the whole night, I'm not talking about children. Children weren't even at this. People were coming over to me, women, my brother, my uncle, my father. My marriage is ruined. I was like, what's going on here? And these were 30-year-old women and 40-year-old women and 25-year-old women who didn't have an amudim, who are suffering silently because there was no one there for them. And it's a life sentence. They don't have the marriages. They don't have the head. They're always going through what they went through. Baruch Hashem, whoever he came here tonight, we have this organization. And we need to support it. And we need to stop hiding what is going on. It is not fear. When I opened up BCA, Benoch Chai Academy, my high school, specifically 80% of them went through sexual abuse. They're out of school. They were thrown out of school because they weren't learning. Totally misread, because anyone in the field knows that survival and student cannot happen at the same time. If you're an abuse victim and you're trying to survive, in your head you're thinking, I got to go home, and who knows what's going to happen there and what happened there, you can't learn. So when these kids stopped learning, they threw them out of school. Totally misread it. So the first year we opened up, we made a deal with the Jewish board, whatever it was. They said we could have 15 girls in the school. So I sat there with Rabbi Max and my principal, and we interviewed and we interviewed and we interviewed, and we had 14 of them. And we were only allowed to take one more, and there were three left. And number 15 came to sit down in front of me. And I'll make up a name. We'll call her Sarah. And Sarah sits down in front of me. Her father and her mother sit down. And Sarah sits down in front of me. She is so high. She is so drugged up. She just came from 3 days in the mountains called Juistock. Instead of Woodstock, it was Juistock. 3 days of drugs and music and boys and girls and don't ask. She came straight to the interview to get into my high school. And she sits in front of me and her head just hits the table. She's out. Interview with Rabbi Wallerstein to get into my school. Out. And her father shakes her and says, Sarah, you want to get into the school? You got to pick your head up. She picks her head up. Her eyes are like, I'm like, hi, Sarah. And Ezra Max is sitting next to me. I'm like, there's nothing. We're not taking this one. She's not even here. Comes to an interview like this. I said, Sarah, why do you want to come to my school? I don't know. I think I want to. I'm not sure. I don't know. She was higher than a kite. So I'm a mensch. I don't want to, parents should feel bad, whatever it is. So I'm like, it's nice meeting you. We'll get back to you at the end of the week. And I'm like, going like this to Max, I'm like, cross that name out. We're not taking this girl into school. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And as this man and his wife get up, they were very tall, and she gets up, and they're sort of carrying her out of the room. I turned to the man, I said, by the way, how are your other kids doing? And he looks at me and says, this is my Bas Yechida. I don't have any other children, Rabbi Wallerstein. I said, this is it. This is it. This is my Sarah. I said, you know what? You don't have to wait till Thursday. She's in. Really? I'm like, you don't have to wait. If that's what you got. And the next two, we took them two. We didn't tell the Jewish board. Every day there were two kids absent. So we had 18, but we really only had officially 50. And I walked away. And I said, we took her because she's a Bas Yechida. And I realized I made the biggest mistake of my life. Not that I took her in, but my reasoning was so wrong. So if he had 8 other kids, he wouldn't have taken her? No, I wouldn't have. What do you mean? Every child is a Bas Yechida. To a Kodesh Baruch Hu, every child is a Bas Yechida. If you have 10 kids and one is abused or one is off the derech, that's your Bas Yechida, that's your Ben Yechida. Every child is a Bas or Ben Yechida. Every child that goes through this trauma is a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Bas and Ben Yechida, and we're going to have to answer. And I said at the Agudah convention 4 years ago, and I got a lot of flack, and I said, at the end of the day, it's on our watch, Rabbanim, Gedolim, Tzadikim, us, regular people, everybody. And I took out a Megillas Eicha and I read, Yirmiyahu came in front of Hashem and Hashem said, you're not allowed into my chatzar. And Yirmiyahu said, why? And Hashem said, you were the Navi on the watch when my children went through this destruction. And Yirmiyahu said, but I was the only one for 20 years that stood on the corner and screamed and yelled and mustered and begged. What do you want from me? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you failed. You were supposed to take care of my children. And this happened on your watch, out of my chatzar. I read it from inside. Ladies and gentlemen, it's on our watch. It doesn't have to be a gadol or a rav, it's every person in this room. It's on our watch. How are we going to answer that Hashem's Bas or Ben Yechida went through abuse? Our answer will be, we had an organization, we put something together called Amudim. Hashem, we did our best. There is no other organization that does this. So I want to end with a bracha, and I want to tell you that one of these girls wrote to me from a rehab that she's been in for a very long time because of the abuse that she went through. And I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to read her whole poem and her anger to Hashem and then how she changed. It's, I don't want to take this. I'm supposed to just introduce somebody. I want to read you the best line I've ever heard in my life. And this is what she wrote. And the reason that she's in that rehab, because Tzvi Gluck and Amudim raised $30,000 a month for 4.5 months so far. And here's the line. Sometimes when you're in a dark place, you think you've been buried, but actually, you've been planted. That's what Amudim's doing. We're not burying children, but we're planting children to watch their growth. Tzvi, Amudim, everybody that's involved, and everyone who came here out tonight because you care. We should have the schus to watch these beautiful plants grow and flourish and give peres. Thank you very much.